All right. Hello, everybody, and welcome to the very first episode of Cinephiles, the podcast. I am Anthony Mottola.
I'm Ryan Waltz.
And we are here, hopefully going to do this maybe once a week, once a month at least, and going to talk anything and everything movies. Today's edition of the podcast is going to be mine and Ryan's own personal top 10 list. So, Ryan, why don't you give us kick us off here?
All right, let's see. Number 10, we start off with Ghost World, starring Thora Birch and Scarlett Johansson, a young Scarlett Johansson, also Steve Buscemi.
From what I hear, is his best role of his career.
It is his best role. Tells a story about a girl who is leaving high school and having problems dealing with it. And she doesn't know what direction to take in life. She's losing her friend because her friend's growing up without her. And it's a lot of... if you've ever grown up, then you might like this movie. But obviously, it's...
A lot of us haven't grown up yet. Oh, 32, fair. I still feel like a 7-year-old.
Okay. The best part about this movie is the characters. Everything in here is written so honestly and true to form that you just love every single word.
It's almost like just kind of like a fly on a wall in a teenage girl's life.
Exactly. And not only are the characters so good, but you can tell that she's really transforming. She doesn't know. Like, even through her outfits. Like, the one day she goes out and she's dressed in, like, an old woman's, like, retro outfit. Mm-hmm. The next day she wakes up and she's in a punk outfit.
She's trying to find herself.
She's extremely, like, searching for something.
I wish I would have watched this movie over the weekend. I could have had more input. But tonight, that's the movie on the docket tonight before wrestling starts. Where you're going to watch Ghost World with dinner.
With dinner.
I'm
telling you, I think you're really going to like it. Steve Buscemi is just incredible.
I don't know how I missed it when it came out. You know, was that 2001, I think it said, on the box?
I'm not even sure of the year. I caught it in a small window. It must have been a free weekend on, like, a movie channel.
Those are the best weekends.
It was like 3 in the morning. I must have been searching for something else.
I'm going to go on to IMDb because we're up to date here with all technology on Cinephiles and get the year of Ghost World. What's Her Face was like... This is like one of Scarlett Johansson's first movies, right?
Yeah, I think there was one before it that I know of.
She was
the sister in Home Alone 3. That's what it was.
Was she really?
In Home Alone 3, she's the sister.
No shit. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's the only role I can think of prior to that.
I feel like a lot of people thought, like, is the girl that you're talking about, like, the one who's finding herself, is it Scarlett or is it Thora Birch?
It's Thora Birch.
She was pretty popular back in the day. She was in Hocus Pocus.
Oh, I forgot about it. Yeah, she was in Hocus Pocus.
And wasn't she in... And I know she was in American Beauty.
I don't know which came first, though.
A Hocus Pocus came first.
I'm talking about American Beauty or Ghost World.
Oh, this is 2001, is Ghost World. June 16th, 2001. Accentuate the negative. I love IMDb, by the way. Thora Birch. What is she? She hasn't done anything lately that I can remember.
No, she did that movie, The Hole.
American Beauty was 99. The Hole, wait. What do you mean, The Hole? The Hole,
There's a movie, it's a horror movie, I believe, called The Hole, and she's in it.
Huh. Oh, there it is. Yeah, 2001.
Boom.
Same year as Ghost World.
Same year.
Yeah, Patriot Games. She was in that one. The Harrison Ford. Wasn't that like one of the Jack Ryan movies?
I'm not sure.
I don't know. I'm not into the spy movies. So, yeah, she hasn't done anything. 2012 was the last movie that Thora Birch has done. But who would have thought that the roles would have reversed? And Scarlett Johansson turns out to be one of the biggest stars in the world right now, Black Widow.
Yeah.
And now she's pregnant.
No.
All right. We will go with... We're going to ping pong these top 10 lists back and forth. So my number 10... 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Oh, my number 10, I actually have to take from... No, you know what? There Will Be Blood. Because I remember when we did this on the website, I had added There Will Be Blood. So There Will Be Blood is my number 10. It's about Daniel Day-Lewis, Paul Dano, and I think his best role. Paul Dano is incredible in that movie.
Paul Dano should be in everything.
I want to see Being Flynn. I haven't seen that yet, movie with De Niro. And he was good in Little Miss Sunshine.
What did you see him in 12 Years a Slave?
Yeah, I didn't realize he was in it. When that won the Oscar, he stayed out. I said, what the hell is Paul Dano doing there? Daniel Day-Lewis is an oil man. And he's a prick pretty much throughout the whole movie. It's all about money for him. It's all he wants is power. Power, I think, more than money.
Money buys power.
Yeah, pretty much. First you get the money, then you get the power, and then I don't remember the next line.
First you get the respect, then you get the money, then you get the power.
That could be it. That's I don't know. We've talked about Scarface before, how people just took it and ran with it. But that movie's The Fact There Will Be Blood. That movie is an absolute acting clinic. He won the Oscar, Daniel Day-Lewis, for Daniel Plainview. I drink your milkshake. It's very, very quotable. It's long. You know, it's pushing very 3 hours. Not much happens, you know. I like acting, you know, and that's a guy, Daniel Day-Lewis, I would pay to watch him read the phone book, just to read names out of the phone book. He's incredible. Some of the lines, I think it's an excellent, excellent script. Totally, totally quotable. And Paul Dano, there's not many people that I think could steal scenes from Daniel Day-Lewis, and Paul Dano,
he's absolutely insane.
Oh, he does it brilliantly. The whole "tell me you've abandoned your child." That's I mean, that's incredible. It's such a good movie. It's a really, really good movie. Daniel Day-Lewis is a really good villain. Like, if I had to do a top 10 list of villains, I think Daniel Plainview would definitely be on that list, because he's despicable. And at the end of the movie, when he tells his son, spoiler alerts, everybody, if no one's seen these movies, so apologize, but when he's telling him that, you know, you're just a bastard in the basket, that's a pretty terrible thing to say to the kid that you've raised your whole life. And I don't know, I just, there was something about it. The first time I seen it, I fell in love with it. And I between that and Bill the Butcher, I think, are his two best roles, but I kind of tend to lean more towards the Daniel Plainview character as my favorite of his anyway.
They're both mustachioed men.
Yeah, basically they kind of sound the same too.
They're almost the same person.
You know, but then you watch a movie like Lincoln, and have you seen Lincoln?
I have not seen Lincoln.
The voice he does in that movie, it's like, I mean, you wouldn't know. He's a chameleon, that dude. He really is a chameleon. He's a method actor. You know, he reminds me, to me, he's a De Niro-ish actor for this time, when De Niro was really in his prime with the Taxi Drivers and Raging Bull. I mean, he becomes those characters, and that's, I feel the same way about Daniel Day-Lewis.
Yeah, I mean, I watched it for required viewing.
Yes.
And it wouldn't be in my top list. Mm-hmm. I loved the parts where things were happening, but I just felt like a lot of the movies was like, all right, here, we're going to talk for a little bit.
And
then you get death from a board from above. Boom.
Yeah, that was nuts.
Everybody kept dying in that fucking hole.
Don't go in the hole.
Who would go down that hole?
There was nothing to do back then.
After the first
what else
hole?
Are you going to work?
Look, this isn't Captain Phillips.
I'm the captain now.
Look, they have other jobs, okay? It's not like maybe an emetic guy. It's not like...
But his facial expressions and that, it's like, I like it because I think it's like an acting clinic. Like, I've seen a couple shows on Broadway, and my favorite ones are the straight up plays. Like, have you ever seen Glengarry Glen Ross? That's why you laughing.
I'm laughing because
you know that scene.
I'm laughing at the scene from Zack and Miri Make a Porno, where he's like, it's an all male cast, and he's like Glengarry Glen Ross, and he's like, yeah, except for Glenn sticks his hairy balls.
Glenn sucks. Gary's meaty cock.
Yeah.
Justin Long, really good in that movie.
He stole that movie.
Yeah. So what we got for your number 9?
I'm fighting with this because I'm...
Is this where you wanted to add?
I wanted to take movie? Something out, but I think I'm still going to stick with it.
So that you were thinking about adding is going to go into your honorable mention?
Oh my God, this is rough. This is a rough one. Okay. Because if I was going to put a movie, the movie we're speaking of that will be later.
You want to do like a 9A and a 9B?
A 9A. Subsections. You know what? Fuck it. Number 9 is going to be Battle Royale.
Nanahara!
Nanahara. For you who have not seen Battle Royale, it is a world kind of set in the future where the Asian population is overrun. So every year they set a class of children to an island, and the last one alive survives.
Hunger Games. Well, it's the original Hunger Games from what you told me, right? Or
well, allegedly they have no... She had no prior knowledge to Battle Royale when she wrote Hunger Games. But...
How do you not have prior knowledge of a movie that you basically take the whole fucking story from?
It is very different. Having read the Hunger Games books and Battle Royale, it's different. Did you get that link I put on your page to read Battle Royale?
No.
I put it right on your Facebook page.
You know what? Maybe I didn't read it. Is it the script of Battle Royale?
No, it's the manga that's the script's based off of.
Oh. I didn't realize it was...
I randomly found a website.
Oh, wow. I didn't realize that was like a story. But I thought... Obviously, it's a story, but I thought it was, you know, just a movie. I didn't realize... Did the director or the writer of that movie write that first, or is that like...
No, the book was first.
The book was first.
As far as I know.
Was it adapted? I wonder if... Or was it the same person who wrote that book wrote the movie?
That I don't know.
Come on, man. It's on your list.
It's on my list. It's on my top 10. I just put it on there.
You did just put it on there.
Okay, and yeah, it's known for being very violent.
Yeah.
And gruesome. Quentin Tarantino called it the best movie that's come out since he started directing.
The best fucking movie, I believe, is what Tarantino said. It was good. I didn't want to watch it. I'm going to be totally honest with you. When you told me about it, I was like, whatever.
It's going to be this people talking. I don't know who they are.
Yeah, because I don't have an issue with subtitled films, but I don't like reading sometimes when I'm watching a movie.
There's not a lot to read.
No. But, I mean, I put it on because you had it for required... If you had not put that in required viewing that week, you'd probably be still arguing with me to watch that movie.
I argue with everybody to watch that movie. But, and that's why I have to have it on the list. I never fought for a movie so hard. When people are like, I'm looking for something good to watch, I'm like, watch fucking Battle Royale. Like, I've never... Yeah, and the movie that took its place...
What was it?
Reservoir Dogs.
Reservoir Dogs is a good movie.
Reservoir Dogs is a great movie.
It's a great... That's a great script.
But, you know, out of all the other movies that are on the list, that one just didn't quite fit.
Well, I mean, this is a personal...
Yeah, it's a personal
top 10. We're not critics or anything.
Yeah.
But I really enjoyed about it. I mean, I watched those two movies pretty much back to back. You know, I couldn't.
The sequels?
Yeah, I couldn't. I could not. Like, I wanted to get back in that world as soon as I watched the first one, and it hooks you right off the bat. Like when they get into that room with the teacher, and he starts explaining the story and stuff, and I believe one of the girls' heads blows up, like pretty right before they even go into the field. I was like, oh, I'm in, and I liked that it was a lot of practical effects in that movie.
It was a lot of practical effects. People complain about the CGI blood, but it's mostly just splatters.
Yeah, well, there wasn't a lot. I don't think there was too much in the first one. The second one I thought was
over the top.
Mostly CGI, and I have an issue with that. I like the way the practical effects look. I think they look better. But I dug Battle Royale as well. I haven't seen it enough to be able to put it like in one of my lists. Yeah.
It's definitely one of my favorites. Just the beginning scene alone, when they are in the room and the teacher is telling them what's happening. He's like, look, you have been selected for Battle Royale, and he shows them like a propaganda video
of Dharma Initiative style
of the happiest girl ever explaining, like, oh, you get a bag with stuff and you're and that's racist. And you get a bag with one weapon and these are your food and here's your supplies, and the one kid's like, I'm not gonna do it. So he kills him, his head explodes or whatever, and yeah, it's just very graphic, and then how quickly the friends turn on each other, and some people are like, look, I'm not even going to do this. I'm just going to jump off a cliff.
Yeah, that was...
And I'm just like, that's so real, because somebody would be like, no, like, I'm not waiting around. Yeah,
I don't know if I would... Could you do that if you...
And then, like, the one girl, she sees the other girls, like, hanging. She's like, oh, did you see those? Yeah.
Yeah. Like, it's funny how they go from being kids to like, just getting cold, you know what I mean? Like, the switch just flips in them, and... You know, I mean, it's survival. It's kill or be killed.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, I don't know if I have that in me. If we ever had to go do something like that, I'd be like, fuck this.
Let's just wait around until our heads blow up.
Yeah. That's a really good movie. I was happy that you had suggested it, and happy that I actually watched it. And like that first scene, it pulls you right in. You know what I mean? And
after that, you don't even care what's
going on. I'm in for the ride after that. I wanted to see what the hell was going to happen.
With Nanahara?
Nanahara. There's a kid at the Chinese restaurant. I like to get nicknames for everybody, and there's a kid at the Chinese restaurant, and I was like dying to have a nickname for him, and I couldn't figure it out. I couldn't figure out the guy's name in Big Trouble in Little China, Kurt Russell's sidekick.
Oh, I don't know.
It's like I wanted to say it's like Chang or something, but that's awfully racist. You know what I mean? The name could be Bill for all we know. But I couldn't remember, and I love Big Trouble. And then I watched that movie, and ever since then, it's like, oh, I'm gonna go to Nanahara's and get some Chinese food tonight, which is also somewhat racist, but I do it out of love. It makes good sesame chicken.
All right, you're number nine.
My number nine is Caddyshack.
It's Caddyshack.
Caddyshack, I think, is the...
Well, now let's do at least 15 minutes of impressions, and then we'll go on to the next movie.
Bill Murray... from what I understand, had two or three lines in the film, his character, and ends up being the majority of the movie, the best lines. Former greenskeeper, about to become master champion. With that stupid freaking lip that he's got. I'm watching you. Rodney's great in it, and Chevy Chase, but I don't know, Chevy Chase is a douchebag, I think, in real life. He bothers me a little bit, but he's on the money in that movie.
He's on the I love Chevy Chase. Vacation? Come on.
Vacation's great. Did you ever see Funny Farm?
No.
Funny Farm is a really good movie.
I don't remember it, so I wouldn't say
And
I
the Three Amigos, but he's not the best part of the Three Amigos.
Steve Martin.
Steve Martin is, and Martin Short is too, and I like El Guapo. Oh. Eat a sweater. But Caddyshack, in my mind, is the funniest movie. You know, may Harold Ramis rest in peace. Incredible. And but everybody in that movie is good. Even Ted Knight. You know, who knew that a guy like that could
pull
off...
He was on
off...
W whatever in Cincinnati.
No, he was on... Oh,
Mary Tyler Moore Show?
No, it was a show, and I remember what he did in the show. He
WKRP
was,
in Cincinnati, I thought he was on.
I'm going to... This is the second IMDb run. Ted Knight... But I don't know. How would you describe Caddyshack?
As if you've never seen Caddyshack before, from somebody who's watched it for the first time recently. Well, not for the first. I saw it for the first time probably last year at some point, and then I've watched it. Yeah, and then I've watched it probably three times since then in the past couple months. Rewatch it if you haven't seen it, or. You're going to see it for... If you've seen it once, rewatch it.
Rewatch it like five times.
Because it takes a... You have to really get into the characters. Because it's mostly a bunch of one-liners.
The whole script is a bunch of one-liners.
It's
just
like, this is line's funny, this line's funny. I'm just like... There's a movie about a caddy who gets his girlfriend pregnant.
Yeah, but I mean, that comes like towards the end. He's poor. The family's got like nine. That's one of the funniest lines in the movie is the first scene when he goes down and he's sitting at breakfast and the father goes, who are you? I'm your nephew.
Yeah, well, that's what I'm saying. Like there was a good story there.
Yeah, and I think they just went off.
Exactly. And it became a bunch of one-liners. And from a person who really enjoys story to a sick end, I was like, oh, wait, what? So can we talk about his family some more? Like, wait, she's pregnant? How does she feel about that?
She's been plucked more times than the Rose of Tralee, I'm told. That girl is so annoying. And did you realize that Maggie is the greenskeeper, the head greenskeeper's niece?
In the movie? The head greenskeeper's niece.
Yeah, the guy who is working with Bill Murray when he comes. I need you to get rid of all the golfers. Correct me if I'm wrong. We get rid of all the golfers. They're going to lock us up and throw away the key. Golfers!
Nice.
Maggie. Maggie's panties. Bobby. Noonan.
My favorite line still. So I got that going for me.
Yeah. That was all ad-lib. Dalai Lama himself. Flowing robes. Knights on the Lama. Breathtaking. Big hitter. Big hitter the Lama. Love that movie.
He says, I won't tip you now, but...
A gunga gulunga. On your deathbed, you reach total consciousness. So I got that going for me.
Which is nice.
Too Close for Comfort was the the show that I was thinking of with Ted Knight.
Well, was he also in Mary Tyler Moore?
He was also in Mary Tyler Moore.
Called it. Was he also in WKRP in Cincinnati?
98 acting credits. He was on the Ted Knight Show.
Okay.
Emilio and His Magical Bull. He was on The Love Boat for six episodes. Exciting and new. Wow, that's his... All I knew him as was Judge Smales in that movie, and his first name is Eli Hu. E-L-I-H-U. That's what it says here on IMDb. Judge Eli Hu Smales. He was in an episode of Star Trek.
Which episode?
What
series?
1973. I'm going to assume that's the original.
I would assume as well.
Right.
Does that say the episode?
No. It says one episode. The character he played was Carter Winston. I don't see that other show you were talking about.
Fuck.
Uncredited for MASH. Aquaman, narrator, 1967 series. But he's got that voice, though. That's the whole thing with him. He's such a good villain. He's so easy to hate, you know? He's the villain in that movie. If you gotta pick a villain, you know? It's easy to grin when your ship comes in and you've got the stock market beat. But the man who could... I can't believe I'm messing it up.
You've said it to me 100 times, yeah. And now you're messing it up.
Easy to grin, whatever. Womp womp.
Okay, so what's up next?
Number 8 for Ryan.
Okay, well, if we're talking about quotable movies, this is the perfect quotable movie of all time.
I'm wondering if I know where you're going with this.
Number 8 is Superbad.
That's exactly what I thought.
I'm not even going to explain the story of Superbad, because if you haven't seen it, just go watch it.
It's hysterical. It's one of the funniest movies. That and Anchorman.
And please, when you watch it, get the unrated version.
It's the only way to watch that movie.
It's not that much different, but the parts are just so good that you're missing.
It's a lot. I think it's a lot different than. But it's that, or just the jokes are a little bit funnier. McLovin is incredible, but Jonah Hill and Michael Cera together, I mean, were like gold. I wonder if they knew each other before they'd made that movie.
I don't believe so, because Michael Cera came from Arrested Development. Jonah was friends with Seth Rogen.
Yeah.
So I doubt they knew each other that well.
And you are totally right. That is maybe one of the most quotable movies.
It's all quotes. And my favorite line from the unrated version that's not in the original is like, "What are you doing? Drilling holes. Last 2 weeks.
Fuck it. I like the cock thing. This funny thing, you scratch my back, I'll scratch your back."
That's not in the original?
No, I think it is. The whole thing with the coming when I'm miming being jerked off on for everyone. But I don't think that's in the original. Well, they go off a little bit more in the unrated version. But there's a funny thing about my cock jewels. My back jewels is it's connected to my cock. Such a good movie.
What
really,
I love about
really
that
funny
part, though, is that Jules laughs, but the friend doesn't.
The friend is a bitch in that movie.
That's what he says right after that, because he runs. He goes,
"Let's talk about Jules and his stupid friend."
I just ran into Jules and her fucking bitch friend.
It's so good, that movie. You're getting that. No, I'm not.
Hey, but do you know who that, when he's like, "Come on, Greg, it's soccer." Do you know who Greg is?
Is that, that's Dave Franco, right?
Yeah.
People don't forget. That's him, right?
Yeah.
It was like 8 years ago.
Asshole. People don't forget.
All right. Where are we? We're on number 8 for me.
Yeah. I think we've said all we need to say about Superbad.
My number
McLovin.
8.
McLovin. Okay. I'm done now.
I told her what time it was. Let's go on and on and on. I don't know why I just go on the rooftop and say, "I love my friend Evan." Why can't you say that? Bill Hader is good in that movie, too.
Yeah, he's incredible. You know Yoda from Attack of the Clones?
Fuck, you'd be surprised at people's names. Fuck. It was spelled with a PH, though.
It's still pretty shocking.
It's still, yeah, shocking when you see it. My number 8 movie is... It's hard with this movie, because there's a lot of times when I was younger, this was like my number 2 favorite movie of all time. Like,
and
if I had to put a list.
It's fallen
and
down 6 spots.
Fallen down to, 6 spots to number 8. It's Braveheart.
Okay.
Mel Gibson's directorial debut.
He directed that?
He directed that. He got, I believe he won Best Director, and it won Best Film also that year at the Oscars. It's about William Wallace, the Scottish freedom fighter, I guess we could say. And it's, you know, basically the beginnings of Scotland getting their freedom from England, starting to break away. And it's a postcard to go to Scotland. Like, just go to Scotland and, you know,
Lord of the Rings. Has
yeah, see, that's not, none of them are on my list. And I love those movies. But back to Braveheart. That's another movie. Some of the lines in that movie are incredible. That whole speech, you know, you may take our lives, but you'll never take our freedom. He's really, really good in that movie. He's a badass in that movie with that humongous sword. All the characters are really good. You got Hamish. It's just a really good story. I'm a sucker for true stories too. I mean, I'm sure he took some liberties with the actual, you know, the trueness of it.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a really good movie. It's like, it's a great movie.
Mm-hmm. Literally the only thing I know about Braveheart, I watched it as a kid, but I can't recall anything of it. And the only thing I know is from The Office, where Michael Scott is talking to a coworker, and she's getting married, and he's like, "I'd like to initiate prima nocta," and then everyone like stops, and they have to explain to him what it is, and he goes, "I'm sorry, I had a different definition of what prima nocta was."
That's a fucked up scene in that movie.
Yeah,
yeah. Well, the guy, they come up, and the King of England has decided that if he can't get them out, he's going to breed them out. So all the lords of these towns can come in on the first night of the marriage, instead of sharing your bed with your husband, these lords can come in and take the wife, and they share the bed with them. So in hopes that they'll start impregnating these women and just change an entire bloodline of a group of people.
Why would you get married? You know this is coming. Well,
that's why he, Braveheart, William Wallace, when the girl, when he falls in love with, that he's been in love with since he was a child, he goes into the woods with, you know, gets a priest, goes into the woods, and they get married in secrecy. Turns out, you know, they find out, and they end up slicing her throat in the middle of the thing, but that's...
Spoiler alert.
Everyone's seen Braveheart. And I said spoiler alert earlier, so... But it's a really, really good movie. It's a really good story. I remember the first time I bought that movie was on VHS.
Mm.
And remember the long movies used to come in two VHSs.
Had two
VHSs. It was like 3 hours and 3 hours and something long. Brendan Gleeson, that's the first movie I remember seeing him in. It was really good. Dude from In Bruges, and I think he played Monk in Gangs of New York.
Okay, I know who you're talking about.
Really, really good actor. And that's like a perfect movie. It's good story. It's really good acting.
Yet it's number 8. Okay.
Yet it's number 8. Yes, but there's. Hold up. The next from here on out on my list, all perfect movies. So all it's just movie. Yeah, in my mind.
Okay.
It's rewatchable too. To be able to watch a three hour movie over and over and over again is that's saying something.
Yeah, the only movies I remember that had two VHS was Titanic.
Yeah.
And It.
Well, It was like a mini series, wasn't it? It was like made for television, I thought. And then,
yeah, but I still think it was a two-part like movie made for TV.
I need to watch It again.
Dude, please watch It.
Cuz I don't know how much I remember of It. Tim Curry is a genius.
Tim Curry is incredible in everything he is.
Yeah.
Talk about a guy that doesn't get enough respect.
No. Gets no respect whatsoever. But he plays everything. He plays all these weird characters. Frankenfurter.
He's Johnny Depp before Johnny Depp.
Like, yeah.
He plays.
But he's not as good looking as Johnny Depp.
Speak for yourself.
Come on.
Take Tim Curry over Johnny Depp.
You nuts?
Dude, Tim Curry, he's weird looking.
Yeah, Tim Curry is very funny looking.
Exactly. But like in a good way.
Well, Johnny Depp is just dirty looking, but in a good way.
Yeah.
He's got that hobo chic going on.
His clothes are
on. I know, you're crazy. We can do a whole podcast on our disagreements on Tim Burton and Johnny Depp movies. So, what do you have for number 7?
Number 7 is Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind.
It's a great movie.
It's an excellent movie. Don't watch it if you just, you know, if you just went through a loss of any kind, death, girlfriend,
yeah,
dog, like, because you will just want to kill yourself.
It's heavy.
It's a heavy movie. And you have to watch it at least twice to get the... It's strange. Every time I watch it, I almost forget the ending.
Mm-hmm.
Because I feel like the beginning is the ending, and it kind of is. And so, every time I watch the movie, it feels like the first time. Because there's just so many different like time parallels.
That's cool.
Yeah.
That's cool that you can still feel that way when you watch movies.
Yeah. Eternal Sunshine is about a guy played by Jim Carrey. Can't remember his name, but I remember his girlfriend's name. It's Clementine.
Clementine.
and don't sing the song. Jim Carrey plays a character who's just gotten broken up with, and he finds out that his girlfriend has went to a company to have him completely erased from his memory, or from her memory. And that pisses him off to the point where he's like, well, you know what? You don't get to forget about me, because I'm going to forget about you.
That's terrible.
And during the night, during this procedure, they come into your house, and they set up all these machines, and they erase the person from your memory. They send cards to everyone you know to, like, don't bring her up. And halfway through the procedure, he decides he doesn't want it. So a lot of the movie takes place in his mind, in his bed, and his ex-girlfriend is trying to help him find places in his mind to hide memories of her. It's just so cool.
Now, Kate Winslet is... I forget this movie now.
Okay.
Because I've only seen it, like, twice, and like when it came out. Kate Winslet, is she his girlfriend?
Yes.
Okay.
Kate Winslet plays his girlfriend. Kristen Dunst plays one of the...
hate her.
One of the people who come. And there's a story with her in there towards the end, so it's... They really, you know, everybody in that movie matters. Mark Ruffalo's in it.
Oh, no shit.
Elijah Wood's in it.
I remember Elijah Wood. I didn't remember. Mark, that must have been one of his, like, earlier movies, too.
Yeah, he plays the guy that is actually doing the whole procedure. Him and Elijah Wood are doing it.
Oh, okay.
He's wearing, like, hipster glasses. He looks like the guy from Motion City Soundtrack.
Tell me that you're all right. Jim Carrey doesn't get enough respect as a serious actor. It's my personal opinion. I think he makes some decent...
It's true, but he doesn't also get enough chances.
Yeah.
And when he does, he always kind of makes him a little humorous.
I guess Truman Show is a little on the funny side. That Eternal Sunshine, it's humorous, but it's not... I don't know. It's like a dark, like a black comedy, you know? Like, if you have to even classify it as a comedy. I have to watch that movie again, because I remember it's kind of like a mind-fucky type movie, too.
Yeah,
it's trippy.
It really sends you through them things, and it's so good. Like, the story is just incredible. Love conquers all at the end. But, I mean, okay, so here's my problem with Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind, and my problem with most relationships. When you break up with somebody... It's because you don't fucking like them. And even if you get back together, those things are still there. They're underlying. Like, they'll always be there.
Yeah.
So, are they going to go through this thing where they get their mind erased so they love each other every 3 years? Like...
Yeah, that would be terrible to have to go through a bad breakup like that every 3 years and then erase it and do it all over again.
Because they don't like each other. From the very beginning, they don't like each other. I mean, they start out happy. But then...
Everybody does. The puppy dog stage.
Exactly. And Jim Carrey just treats her like a piece of shit. Which people don't see in that movie for some reason either. Like, he calls her a slut. Like, he's like, who are you out fucking, basically? He's just so mean to her and just fucking treats her terrible. Yeah. So she leaves him. I'm like, good. She needs to get the fuck out of there.
Deservedly.
Exactly. So that halfway through the movie, and this is only after you watch a movie a couple times that you start picking these things apart. And I'm like, she should have left him. I'm like, it makes sense.
Anybody would have left him.
Yeah, he's fucking terrible for her. But no, she erases her memory, so she thinks, she's like, okay, I did like this guy at one point. So they start dating again.
So that's why she erases her memory, is to like re-fall in love with Jim Carrey's character?
No, that's never said. But
is it implied at all, or is that what?
No, it's implied. He treats her badly, and the relationship is bad.
Mm-hmm.
So she wants out of it. So she gets her mind erased, and then throughout the film, you know, she is remembering things about him, despite the fact that she
good things about him.
Yeah, like I don't want to say too much about the movie, but they have a place where they met. And the whole and after they both have their mind erased, they still go to that same place, and that's where they meet each other again.
It's like you're almost getting amnesia.
Yeah.
Relationship amnesia.
Yeah. So like, yeah, they met. They, you know, through all odds, they found each other again. But okay, in a year and a half, they're going to be still doing the same thing.
Going to hate his guts again
because they don't even remember why they loved each other. Like they both.
I need to watch it. Is that on Netflix?
Yeah, I believe so.
Okay. I know Kristen really likes Eternal Sunshine. She's brought it up.
It's a great movie. Like, and I'm saying, these are things that you pick apart in a movie if you're a movie fan.
Yeah.
And you like a movie so much that you've watched it 100 times.
And you start relating yourself to those movies.
Just like, I'd never, like...
Yeah, I don't think I could do that. I mean, like, you end relationships...
For a reason.
For a reason, yeah. And like you said, it's like 99% of the times because you just can't stand this person anymore. So they just erase the memory. Like, they're not getting rid of all these negative traits that made them... Because, like, to me, that would be like, all right, sign me up for that. You know what I mean? So-and-so can't do this. And fix that, and then everything will be fine.
No, they're just erasing memories. And so then once they get back together, they'll still be like, I don't like...
It's a crock, man. Whoever made up this thing...
I mean, Jim Carrey...
Making money.
The problem with Jim Carrey in that film is that he's an insecure person.
Mm-hmm.
And she's such a free spirit. He's just like, she's out fucking everybody. I know it.
I love Kate Winslet.
I love Kate Winslet, too.
She's really good.
And I love her boobs in Titanic.
I want you to paint me in this and only this.
As a child, I saw that in theaters, and I was like, oh, fuck yeah.
I saw Titanic twice in theaters. Titanic was the first movie that I went to see... by myself.
I'm younger than you, so.
It's a sad state of affairs when a guy goes to see one Titanic alone and a romantic movie alone. And then I went and seen it the second time with my grandmother in New York.
That's a little better.
I guess. You can't make out with your grandmother, though. I mean, that's a movie.
All I know is I have the 3-disc special edition of Titanic.
It's a great movie.
And I got it used for $10.
Wow.
And I got so much shit for it. And I'm like, all right, you don't have to watch it with me.
Yeah, that's a great movie. I don't buy this whole the chick movie. Whatever, man. Movie's movie. Eternal Sunshine. That was your, what were we on, 7?
Yeah, that was 7, so now you're 7th.
My 7th is The Shawshank Redemption. That movie, to use the phrase, I'm going to use it a bunch, is a perfect movie. I mean, that is, the script is just, to make a movie like that, based off of a short story. It's Stephen King, I'm not sure.
Darabont, right?
Frank Darabont adapted the Stephen King short story, Rita Hayworth and The Shawshank Redemption. It's about Andy Dufresne, whose wife is... Andy Dufresne, played by Tim Robbins, whose wife is cheating on him. He catches the wife cheating on him, and she gets murdered. Her and her lover get murdered, and Andy Dufresne gets convicted of this murder and gets sent to Shawshank Penitentiary, where... He's a genius. He's super good with numbers. He's an accountant on the outside and ends up doing the accounting for the warden and other inmates, but a bunch of things happen. It's one of the best friendships
on screen.
Him and Morgan Freeman are so, so good together.
Hmm.
That's one of my favorite Morgan Freeman movies.
Is that a long one? Is that a 3-hour movie?
It's pushing, yeah. It's about 2.5.
I just bought it on Blu-ray, and it's been a while since I've seen it, so I want to sit through it.
But that there's no wasted minutes in that movie. You know what I mean? There's nothing that I could say, I could do without this, could do without that. Everything in that movie is great. The writing is incredible. Frank Darabont is an incredible filmmaker. I don't think I've seen a movie or anything of his that I haven't been over the moon for. He's got a way of telling the stories. The Mist is great. The Mist is great. The Mist makes me sick. The ending of that movie, made me physically ill the first time I watched it.
Starring Carol from The Walking Dead.
Yeah.
And
Tom Jane.
And Tom Jane. And also Andrea from The Walking Dead.
That's right. Laurie Holden is in that movie.
Mm-hmm.
She's in the supermarket.
Mm-hmm.
His poor wife. That's a really good movie. But I don't know. Sure, everybody in Shawshank is really good. All the friends, the sisters, it's good. Say Watanehu.
Yeah, I'd have to rewatch it.
There's at the apartment complex. There's a wall of rocks, and every time I see it, I always, for whatever stupid reason, look for the one rock that doesn't look like it belongs there. And going back to Titanic, when he finds that rock, when Morgan Freeman goes to find the rock, Andy sends him the letter to go, find this rock and, open up whatever's the box that has the money in it is a Titanic box.
It's a Titanic box?
It's a tin box,
mm-hmm.
And the picture on the box is of the Titanic.
Hmm.
Interesting.
Fun fact, FF.
There it is. Fun fact. Cinephiles, fun fact. So what do you have for number 6?
Number 6 is a personal, these are all personal favorites. But number 6 is definitely a movie I found myself, so it holds a special place for me. and it's That Thing You Do, written and directed by Tom Hanks.
Directorial debut.
He's also in the film as, like, their manager.
Mr. White.
It's the story of a band from Erie, PA.
Gotta be quick.
You gotta be quick. It's a band from Erie, PA. They write a song, and it's a one-hit wonder type of deal.
The Wonders. Looks like O'Neaters.
Really, it looks like O'Neaters. And it's one of those films that it's great in its own right. It has a retro feel to it because it does take place during the 70s, I'd say.
The 60s or the 70s.
And
They were like the B. I think like that was like kind of right. I mean, like they were.
It must have been like right after the Boys.
Yeah.
What's he call them? The lads themselves.
The lads from England, yeah.
So it was right after the Beatles. And Tom Hanks took a real pride in this movie because the band actually had to go to like rehearsals to know how to be a real band.
I didn't know that until you told me that. That's really cool.
So everything in this movie is very real as far as the musicians.
It's authentic, yeah.
Yeah, it's authentic.
It's another quotable movie, too.
Outside of being a quotable comedy, which it is, it's just a great film. If you take all the jokes out of this movie, it's still good.
It's got a lot of heart. It's a sweet movie.
Mm-hmm. Liv Tyler's in it. So, I mean, if you don't even like the movie, you can just watch Liv Tyler. Steve Zahn.
Steve Zahn is great.
Steve Zahn is the comedy in that movie.
Steve Zahn is really good. Ethan Embry?
He's like, a man in a nice trailer is offering to put your song on the radio. I'm signing, you're signing, we're all signing.
Kevin Pollak with a good little cameo. The Vicksburgs in Pittsburgh. Give me the rub. It's a great movie.
It's an excellent movie.
Tom Everett Scott didn't really do too much after the...
American Werewolf in Paris.
Stinks, that movie. That stinks.
I stand up for that movie.
Why?
I don't know. Just because
the original is
off.
So great. Don't piss me. I mean, it's a horror movie, so I mean, I dig all horror movies, but the original was so good. Now, I know That Thing You Do is on your top 10 list,
mm-hmm.
but would you also put that on a guilty pleasures list?
No, because I feel no guilt at all towards it. And I don't think it's a bad film.
I don't think it's a bad film. I saw that in the theater, that movie. I don't know. It's funny. It's really, really funny. And it's got a lot of heart. I said that earlier, but it's got a lot of heart. It's good. I can't believe that they put them through all of that work to go and to make them look like they were a real band.
Every time they're playing for real.
Awesome.
They could sit down and play that song, you know, and that's important. Because as a musician, when you watch a movie about musicians, you pick it out. Like, you can tell when somebody's not playing. And I'd watched that movie a couple times before I watched any of the special features,
mm-hmm.
and I was like, man, it really looks like they're playing.
That's Erie, PA.
Erie, PA. Gotta be quick.
Villa Pianos. And Charlize Theron.
Charlize Theron, yeah.
Two Days in the Valley was her first movie.
She's in that. She plays
the bitch girl.
Spartacus's.
I
am Spartacus. He plays Spartacus's girlfriend.
Okay, giddy boy.
And she's just so terrible. Like, you hate her from the beginning.
Oh, yeah. She's a bitch. He's a big bitch in that movie. But that's a good one.
Oh, the scene when they first hear their song on the radio, and they're all running to the his family store to like, and they turn on all the radios and they're screaming.
I like when Steve Zahn picks up the cutout. Yeah, but put that goes, down. It's a very expensive cutout.
And he goes to kiss his sister, and she's like, "No." And he goes, and he kisses the standee.
He plants one on that standout too, man. That's really good.
If you watch that scene in slow motion. When Evan, what's his name? Ethan Embry runs into the store because he plays this like this really nice, polite kid. He wipes his feet on the carpet. Like, what a small thing that is so.
I wonder if that was like.
It fits
if
the character.
He did that,
so
or
well.
If that was like. If that was direction from.
If that was
from
direction.
Tom
like,
Hines.
When you come in, wipe your feet. Like, I can't imagine. But it's so good. Like, he wipes his feet. I don't know. It's
you're all nice boys, except for you. You're a little dark. And he points to Ethan Embry.
He's like, these shades? He's like, these are your shades.
Who's Utant? That's a great movie. That was on, it was on like 2 months ago, but it was on for like 3 weeks in a row, it felt like. That was the only movie they were watching.
It's a good movie.
Every Kristen, are you watching this again? But I hadn't seen it in like forever, and we had talked about it at work, and it's just, I don't know. I like that movie too. That's a really, that's a good movie to have on the list. I like that.
Yeah, I mean, movies that I find myself always hold a higher place.
Yeah.
I don't know why, but like, because, again, like Battle Royale, this movie is one of those movies where I'm like, I'm basically handing it to people. I'm like, please just watch. It's so good. Just watch it.
You're just trying to let people in this little club.
I have this thing, and I love it so much, and I'm trying to, like, please. Share it. Like,
that's, no, I like movies like that, too. When you find something on your own, it's like, it's just me. Just nobody else knows about it but me. And, yeah, that's I like that thing you do, and I like Battle Royale. You have a good list. I like your list so far. Where did I go? Oh, okay.
So you're number six?
Number six for me is, we're going back to Daniel Day-Lewis.
Oh, God.
And is it the... It's the first, I believe it's the first Martin Scorsese movie that is on my list. Gangs of New York.
First and only Martin Scorsese.
No, bullshit. Bullshit. Like, I could do, like, legitimately, I could have, if I didn't want any parody. Yeah, I could have, like, easily six of these movies could have been Martin Scorsese movies. He might be my favorite director. Yeah. What is your deal with him?
I don't know, man. I just can't get into him.
You're crazy. Have you seen Taxi Driver?
I have not watched Taxi Driver yet.
Have you seen Goodfellas?
Yes.
Do you not like Goodfellas?
No, I said Goodfellas and Casino.
Yeah, you were saying, but I mean, do you not? You're nuts. Have you seen Gangs of New York?
I've seen parts of Gangs of New York.
And I mean, you've seen parts, but that's another. I'm starting to realize I like 3-hour movies. Just about every movie is 3 hours on here. I'm a big Leo fan, and I feel like the two of them, like when Scorsese was younger. Him and De Niro seemed to be, like, the tandem. And, like, they just, I mean, they knew everything. Like, Scorsese knew how to direct him, and De Niro knew exactly what he wanted. And they fit each other's thing. And I feel like now DiCaprio has done a lot of really good movies before he met Scorsese. But I think the movies that he's done with Scorsese has really shown how great of an actor this guy is, because he's played every movie. He's played a totally different character from the next movie. He plays Valen, an Irish immigrant, in New York before it was.
I don't even think you said your favorite movie yet.
What do you mean, of all time?
You didn't say the name of the movie.
Gangs of New York.
Okay.
Oh, I didn't say it?
No,
oh,
you
I
stopped.
Well, Gangs of New York is my number six list. Number six on my list. Again, depending on what I'm watching, it's my favorite Daniel Day-Lewis performance. He is such a scumbag in this movie, but what makes it great is that he believes in what he's doing. You know what I mean? He doesn't find himself a racist. Yeah, he's got total conviction. He doesn't find him that he didn't think that he's a racist. He thinks that he's totally right, you know? And it's just, it's funny. It's not a funny movie at all, but it's really, really good. It's an epic of a film. I saw that movie in the theater. I did a double feature that day. The first movie that I saw was Lord of the Rings, The Two Towers. Yeah. Went to go get, I went and got food after we saw the Lord of the Rings, Two Towers. And then went back and got tickets for Gangs of New York. It was like an evening show, but I just got there right before it was gonna start. Sat in the front freaking row of this theater, watching this movie with my neck cropped up.
Everyone hates that.
Oh, I hate it. I hate it. But I mean, that movie is so good. Another Brendan Gleeson movie's in that one. Plays Monk. He's phenomenal. I like him a lot. He's got a lot of heart in that movie. The dude walks around with a big club, and he starts notching he puts the notches in for everybody that he's killed, and that's how he ends up getting paid. In the beginning of the movie, Liam Neeson plays Leonardo DiCaprio's father.
Neeson's in that?
Yeah, he's got, like, he's in the movie for about 15 minutes, and it's like it's the very, very first scene of the movie. I don't know. To me, that's a really good movie. That's something I thought Scorsese might have won for that movie. I thought Daniel Day-Lewis was going to win too. Bill the Butcher is an incredible, incredible character. All based on a true story, loosely true story, you know. Mm-hmm. Based on these gangs in New York.
Ooh.
It's strange, right?
They really stuck true to the
to the title.
To the title and also to the source material.
I don't know. I really like that movie. It's one of my favorite Scorsese movies. And I'm like I said, I think Scorsese is my favorite, and I mean Tarantino is like a very, very close second as far as directors, but I haven't seen Scorsese movie that I haven't liked. I didn't really dig The Departed the first time I saw it. It took me like 4 or 5 times.
You said your favorite Shutter Island, right?
I fucking hate Shutter Island. Enough with Shutter Island.
I like Shutter Island. That's
I lied. There is one Scorsese movie that I absolutely loathe, and it's Shutter Island. It's such a dumb, stupid movie, and it's probably Leo's worst movie. I can't stand it.
I like it.
Won't watch it again.
I'll stand by it.
No, oh, you're nuts. You know, I think you're just standing by it to piss me off. I think that's that's the whole thing. I hate that movie.
I liked it. I saw it in theaters.
What about it? Like, I thought it was so predictable too. I mean, I called it. I called it right away.
I didn't.
Ugh, I can't.
And I usually hate to admit that, but I didn't.
I got all stoked. I'm like, oh my god, Scorsese's doing a horror movie. First of all, it's not a horror movie, like at all.
Suspense.
But suspense. I guess these days suspense and thriller, crime, thriller kind of, you know, constitute horror. But I don't know. I don't like Shutter Island. Shutter Island is duty.